Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I just want to dive straight into it. I don't even want to mess around. I don't want to do an intro. I just want to get straight into it.
You didn't even ask me if I was ready.
No. Since the Grand Prix finished yesterday, I've just been waiting to jump onto this podcast and debrief on, I guess, the most exciting moment of the season so far, or maybe even the best race weekend of the season so far. I don't know.
I mean, this is just, yeah, the levels of excitement that we had as the race was happening, fast forward the time that we've had to digest everything that we've seen on social media, the amount of opinions that are on social media. Everyone seems to have their own take on what happened. And can I just say that this season is not only heating up to be the best season in our generation, at least, but the fact that this has happened when it's happened is only going to add fuel to the fire for the rest of the World Championship fight. And that, I mean, we all knew this was coming. It was going to happen.
We've been waiting for it almost. Come on.
But I wasn't expecting it to happen in the manner that it did. And honestly, when he went into the barrier, I was like, oh, that was big.
That was my same thing. I was watching it with Vicky and my mum, and they were like, ah! And I was like, no, that was a big. Yeah. Until we've seen him get out of the car, everyone just relaxed for 2 seconds because that is a big crash. Yeah. Okay, let's just bring everything down a bit. Let's scale it back. Welcome to After the Checkered Flag, my F1 special series here on the Behind the Glass podcast. I'm joined, as always, by Paul Wallace from Supercars of London, who is currently rearranging the hats on my table. He's positioned Red Bull in the middle of the table.
I've just split Mercedes and Red Bull up there. Just so.
Probably a good idea. Because yes, today we are going to be reviewing the quite insane British Grand Prix weekend. Not just the race, but the weekend, because it was the first time we saw F1 sprint, which F1 for some reason didn't want to call a race, but let's face it, it was a race, qualifying on a Friday, and then the most controversial moment of the season, which I agree has seen social media erupt in quite aggressive nature. I mean, on the main podcast, people who listen to the main show with Tony will know that recently we spoke about the sort of controversy of, you know, social media around the Euros and obviously the backlash that some of the England football players suffered. And I was like, oh, you know, you don't really get that in other sports. Oh no, you get it in F1 when Hamilton and Verstappen clash on track in such a sort of, I'm going to say it again, my favorite word for this episode, controversial way. It really ignited some pretty extreme opinions.
Yeah.
And I got scared on social media last night. I had to come away from it.
Oh, so I got scared last Sunday night after the Euros and took some time
away
to just sort of let everything pass. I wanted to remove myself. And like, I've seen a little bit this morning. I think it's probably worth saying now, it's fairly disgusting, some of the reactions that have been thrown towards Lewis.
Can I say as well, also Max.
I was talking about the racism.
No, agreed. But as we touched on the main podcast, and we probably shouldn't go into this too much, not because I want to avoid it, but because we did a big section on it on the last week's episode. But also trolling in general.
Oh,
because
off
the back of Max's post-race tweet, he has got a lot of abuse too. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And so I think what it is here is we've got two huge personalities within the sport, Hamilton and Verstappen, who have insanely loyal and outspoken fans, right? And the one thing which I'm going to say is
they're outspoken because everyone's got a social media account.
Well, there you go. We're going to be reviewing, we're going to be discussing, as I say, this race weekend, and especially this moment where Hamilton and Verstappen, if you didn't miss it, if you've been sleeping under a rock, collided and resulted in Verstappen having a huge 50G accident on the first lap of the race and then Hamilton going on to win. So we're going to be talking about this. This is not going to be an unbiased podcast. We are Hamilton fans, fundamentally. We have our own opinions, our own thoughts. Everyone is allowed their own opinions and thoughts. We're going to disagree with each other. It's always going to happen. And we want the comment section. We want you guys to come in and talk through what you're thinking, what you're feeling. But just remember to have a little bit of sort of patience and understanding for each other. And whilst we can disagree, we shouldn't necessarily go after each other. Well, Paul and I probably will in this episode, yeah. But we're not going to be setting a good example. But it's just so much to analyze. And yeah. You're right. Depending on which side of the coin, you know, you want things to land on, you're going to feel, yeah, you're going to feel cheated.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's when I first saw it happen. I knew what was going to ensue on social media with everyone jumping in. And because, probably jumping the gun here a little bit, but based on the experts and the unbiased pundits and ex-Formula One drivers, ex-world champions that were all there and analysed it, no one could choose whose fault it was.
But can I just come out and say, bravo Karun Chandhok, because actually for the first, well, really until long after the race, he was pretty much the only person that stood up and made a declaration.
Yeah.
They all sat on the fence for so long.
It's such a difficult one.
I don't know. And he was the first person to really analyze it and say, look, in my opinion, this is what it was.
They both could have done more. Racing incident.
Which, and the thing is, that's it. We're all going to analyze it differently. The stewards came down in the decision that Hamilton was...
Yeah, fundamentally, they're the only ones that matter.
Well, there we go. In that situation, they were the ones who decided that Hamilton was largely to blame and therefore received a penalty. But I really got frustrated, even to be honest, with Lewis after the race, that there weren't some more outspoken opinions. Where was Nico Rosberg this weekend?
Is definitely going to be a YouTube video coming.
He would have blamed Charles Leclerc probably, but you know, like it just honestly, it was one of those things. So in this episode, we are going to be sharing our opinions and we are going to be voicing them and we are probably going to be biased towards Hamilton. I'm going to do my very best.
Oh, so am I.
Okay, I'm going to do my very best to look at it from both ways. But last night, I did put a poll on my Instagram stories. Ooh. Just to see, because it was so hard to understand where public opinion lay after the race. There was so much noise on social media.
It's hard to actually try and sift through and get a sway one way or another.
Yeah, so I literally asked a very, well, actually convoluted question, but simple question. Did you agree with Hamilton's penalty?
Okay.
49% said yes.
Oh, wow.
51% said no.
So does that mean
that's
the people...
13,000 votes.
Okay, so the people that might have disagreed either, it should have been 5 seconds, or yes. Disqualification.
Yes. So that was kind of my point, is I didn't want to say, should Hamilton have got a penalty?
Yeah.
Because it's a slightly different question. Yeah, I just want to know if they agreed with the penalty he received. And there can be multiple reasons for that. But fundamentally, we're looking at 50-50. Mm. So there's a real divide here. So I guess, who wants to go first? Let me ask you, Paul. You're the guest, so I can always get rid of
the
you.
The guest!
If everyone hates you. If everyone hates you,
my heart.
I can replace you with another guest. So talk to me. At the time of the impact, what was your immediate reaction to witnessing this moment?
I was expecting them to avoid, as in, based on what I saw in the sprint race, and based on, like, so Lewis was on the outside in the sprint race on lap one.
Going into cops, same corner.
Not that he backed out, but he let Max have the corner. I thought, based on everything that built up to that situation, Max was defending for his life. Lewis was attacking for his life because he knew how important it was to get past Max on the first lap if he had any chance of picking up maximum points. I didn't see Lewis backing out of that. I would have assumed, considering there is an entire race ahead of him, that Max, I thought he was a more mature, a more level-headed driver. I'd hoped that he would have avoided that to give himself a chance of picking up some points. Do you get what I mean?
I think the question, or the point being, if Verstappen had let Hamilton go at that corner and conceded that corner, would he have been able to actually then pass and overtake Hamilton during the race and end up winning the race anyway? Could that have happened?
Yeah, of course.
Based on what we saw in the sprint and across the race weekend, it did seem that Red Bull did just about have the pace advantage. It was on a knife edge.
But even still, the decision that Max had in that situation was pick up some points and damage limitate, even if he doesn't win, like what Lewis has been doing all season. He's conceded a couple of positions across the tracks that they've raced at and finished and picked up points, which is why he is where he is in the World Championship. I kind of felt like on lap one, I know they were racing wheel to wheel and it was so exciting, everything building up to that moment. I wonder if Max did the race again, he would have given Lewis a bit more space just so that he can damage limitate, even if he doesn't win.
So, okay, so let's try and flip this on his head a little bit, because I totally see where you're coming from, and I think probably fundamentally I agree with you slightly, but this is the difference between someone going for their first World Championship and on the up of their career and such an exciting, amazing talent for the future, and someone who's been in the sport for 15 odd years and won multiple championships and, you know, knows the benefit of biding your time and maximizing points. But what I think we saw here, and I have mentioned it personally a few times in this season, is Hamilton showing signs of frustration, showing that he is not intimidated by Max, but knows that he's got a proper foe.
Getting his elbow out.
Well, needs to, because yeah. Actually we've seen at Imola, we've seen in other races that Max kind of has, you know, got his elbows out and taken advantage of Lewis. Shown his dominance. But also Lewis has taken the back seat and gone, yes, okay, let's just damage limitation. I've got to bide my time. There'll be my moment.
He's just collecting points.
And I think here, clearly what we saw was Hamilton going, enough's enough. And in his post-race interview, he definitely insinuated that he was fed up with Verstappen just being like, aggressive to the point where he was expecting the other driver to back out, right? Yeah. Like, the only option here is you've got to back out or we're having a crash. And I think Hamilton went, fine, let's have a crash. I think Hamilton's mentality...
That's a risky strategy.
No, but I genuinely... if you look at a Senna, a Schumacher, a Vettel at his peak, any of these guys who are bloodthirsty for victory, I think Hamilton... And I was reading so hard between the lines in his post-race interview... He said, I wasn't prepared to be bullied out of going for overtakes anymore because of Max's aggression, i.e. someone is so aggressive that as another driver, you're like, I'm going to get out of this. And therefore, Max wants away with the win. And I think Lewis went, right, I'm going to put my car here. You make the call. Okay. You can turn in and can crash.
I was going to ask. That. So you think he put the car there to give Max a decision rather than try and take the corner? Do you think he put the car there thinking he was going to take the corner?
Yeah, okay. I think they both went into it knowing if they both turned in as aggressive as they were, so Hamilton carrying that much speed, he was always going to push a little bit wide. If Verstappen took the racing line, they both knew they were going to crash.
Yeah.
So it was like that. It's like chicken. You know, when you're running across the road at the last minute.
Or a Fast and Furious scene where they're both there revving, doing burnouts and then driving at
each
other.
That is exactly it.
Waiting for the other one to pull out.
That is exactly what it was. Essentially, they both knew that it was going to be a crash. So it's like, who's going to back out? And I think so far this season, Hamilton has backed out in those scenarios.
So Max expected him to.
And I think Lewis went, enough's enough. And if we're going to have a crash, we're going to have a crash. And I do think that's kind of what he was saying. Now, for that, I agree that he should have got a penalty. That's where I agree with Bunty. And when it happened, I personally said, 5-second penalty. Mm. How can they not? With everything, the way the stewards behave these days, how can they not give him a penalty? I thought it would be the least. I thought it would be a 5-second. 10-second, you know, it's still relatively mild. And as we saw, he was able to come through and pick up the victory. But I do think Hamilton didn't want an accident, said, Max, it's up to you. As in, we can have this crash, but we don't have to if you actually just back out. And we saw later on in the race with Leclerc, slightly different but very similar moment where, okay, fine, Hamilton was closer to the apex, carrying maybe less speed. Leclerc gave him a bit more space, ran wide and conceded the position. Now, that was still Leclerc defending for his life. Let's face it, that's a Ferrari driver or Ferrari that shouldn't be winning races this year.
Desperately wanted to.
Yeah. Two laps to go.
After the race how exhausted he was, but also how frustrated he was that he lost it right at the end.
And of course, Lewis passed Norris in the same place, but I think way more dominantly. My point being that I agree with Karun Chandhok. I think it was fundamentally a racing incident in the sense that neither were willing to concede.
Yeah.
And this was, and as you said, I think this is why it's the catalyst for this season, right? Because so far, we had Lewis at the start of the year being like, calm down, little boy. Then we had Verstappen coming back being like, shut up, old man, get out of the way. And obviously the balance had swayed. And I'm going to come out and say, I think whilst I questioned the F1 sprint, and I still question it slightly, I think the reason Hamilton was like, enough's enough, was because of the F1 sprint. Because he, obviously, started on pole, went backwards, but then was so competitive on lap one, and as you say, had to back out at Copse. I think that's different because he was trying to go around the outside rather than Verstappen trying to come up the inside. But I think Hamilton was like, screw this. I'm done with this kid.
Yeah.
So as a Verstappen fan, I can understand why you would be like, disgusting, cheat,
fuming. Yeah.
But firstly, I will just come out and say it, and don't come at me, Verstappen fans. He has made similar moves or mistakes. All great F1 drivers have. And he could have. Look, Hamilton could have backed out. Yes, totally agree. But so could have Max. Max could have decided to concede on that corner.
Did you see the onboard where he started to turn in, then realized Lewis was there, unraveled the steering wheel a little bit, and then went super aggressive, as if to be like, no, I'm going.
As if maybe that was his brain.
Yeah.
He was like, no, fuck it.
Yeah.
You know, I just swore on the podcast.
Is that the first time?
No, it's not, but it's really annoying because for the editing, I have to go back through and find that moment and bleep it, and I'll probably forget by the end of the episode.
It was when I was doing the steering bit.
There you go, thank
you. Just so that you can know the timestamp.
But this is the thing, right? It's so hard to pick a side because I actually think both were equally to blame. But as a Verstappen fan, I would get why you'd be going, well, it was recklessly dangerous from Hamilton.
It's the outcome that's more frustrating than the crash. If they'd both spun off like the Rosberg Hamilton of Barcelona, they would probably both be frustrated, but at the end of the day, no one gets points.
Yeah.
The fact is, Max went off in the manner he did, which is what Christian Horner and the whole of the Red Bull team were fuming. It was a huge accident, and obviously went to hospital, and he's fine, thankfully. But I think it's the outcome of the fact that Lewis got 10 seconds, still won, which is heroic, but Max is there in hospital whilst Lewis has picked up maximum points. That's what I think everyone is frustrated about after the incident.
Yeah, for sure. And as I say, if it was the other way around, what would we be doing sitting here right now? Would we be Verstappen punted him off?
Flip the cars, yeah.
And I think if we'd Max be saying, it was petulant from Max. Well, Lewis didn't have... I would like to think we would be as... we'd be looking at it in the same way. Because they were so... I think we would be saying, Lewis could have decided to concede that corner, but why should he? And this is the point, right? This is what we have to be careful with as F1 fans and as a sport, is in these moments, not to erase a racing driver's inherent, natural instinct.
Instincts, yeah.
Because, Senna obviously famously when his incident with Prost, if you don't see a gap there, you're no longer, if you don't go for a gap that's there, you're no longer a racing driver. And I think Hamilton tried to quote that later on after the race. But it is true. But both... This is what we want to see. These are two clear drivers that are just miles away from the rest of the field. Verstappen approaching his prime. Heck, his prime could be still 5 years ago, but his,
5 years
his peak.
From now.
Yeah, sorry. So five years ago. When he was a Toro Rosso, he was really peak. But yeah, it could be 5 years from now. But the point being that they're operating at such a high level, and this was bound to happen at some point. But it's what we want to see them going wheel to wheel, no one willing to concede. And what this sets up is what will it mean next time they go wheel to wheel? What is that going to be? Because I think Verstappen is going to be a little bit red mist, as in, screw you, mate. And I think Hamilton's going to go, well, look, you just want to keep crashing? Let's just keep crashing. Yeah. Like, I do think that's how, which is a Dick Dastardly mentality.
Yeah.
But
I thought Jensen summed it up really well in the post-race interviews with saying, what needs to happen now is because as neutrals, as fans, we want to see the wheel-to-wheel racing without the red mist. Mm-hmm. And so Jensen basically said, what I hope for now is that Lewis and Max can sit down, understand what happened, and move on. Almost not forget about it, but sweep it under the rug, have it out and have that conversation just so they can understand each other. so that when they go into the next race, it's almost as though it didn't happen and they're still fighting for the world championship tooth and nail.
I think there's a, you know, Verstappen came out with this tweet from the hospital saying, you know, I find it, I think would say disrespectful and unsportsmanlike. I think
I thought the way that Red Bull reacted to the whole thing.
Let's come back to that in 2 seconds. Okay. I totally agree and I really want to go in on it. All I was going to say is, I think there is a little bit of lack of respect, but I think they don't like each other at the moment. And Hamilton feels Verstappen's too aggressive. I think Verstappen feels that Hamilton's a bit of an old loser.
I think Max thinks he's better than Lewis.
1,000,000%. Yeah. And if you look back at that over the pits, that's where you're going to see the clashes, right? The greatest on-track battles we've seen are the likes of Schumacher, Hakkinen, or, well, sometimes Senna Prost. who else am I trying to think of? Anyway, Mansell, Senna, you know, was when they had ultimate respect and gave each other that perfect amount of track width. And we've seen it with Alonso racing, Alonso Webber. Alonso Webber was a real archetypical, you know, on-track battles that were amazingly tight. But always fair. And I think that's what we want.
And they come
right off,
fist bump each other and say, well raced.
Yeah, that's what we want to see. Like, we don't want to see this thing where they're just going to hit each other off the track for the rest of the season. So let's wait and see. But yeah, let's get into that right now, what you just touched on. Because in the aftermath of the crash with the red flag and even after the race, I would agree with you that Red Bull, I think, did come across as, I don't know what it was. This sounds harsh, pathetic, in the sense where Christian Horner's argument of, oh my God, no one overtakes a cop. Like that should not have happened. We need to suspend this guy. Whoever, it's the most dangerous place to... Shut up, mate. Like, it's a racetrack. Yeah. Every corner is an opportunity to overtake.
You're in the pinnacle of motorsport on a racetrack with corners and drivers want to win.
You can only have taken the slow corners. Yeah. Never have taken high speed.
Only in a DRS zones, please.
And literally, Hamilton then went on to do two more overtakes in that corner. Yeah. I think was it Alonso?
To prove a point.
Alonso tried to go around. Oh, who did he try and go around? He went around somebody, went a bit wide enough to give the position back. Ricardo? Maybe. Yeah. So, you know, great drivers are going to go for great overtakes. And yes, it's a 180 mile an hour corner, whatever it would be at that point. But that's what gets the great drivers away from the average drivers. Yeah. And I really got increasingly frustrated with Horner banging this drum of, you shouldn't be overtaking. You shouldn't stick a wheel up the inside at cops.
It started with the FIA radio and I was messaging you going, I mean, okay, fine. The crash has just happened. But let the dust settle before... Like, do you really think the FIA are just sitting there, like, doing nothing?
Well, okay, so this is the best thing, right? Is we've now got this FIA to Teams radio, which is just the best thing Formula One have done ever. And we're hearing these radio communications between Michael Massey, race director, and usually team principals, or at least, you know, the teams in general. And the insight we got, the Toto Wolff email meme, that will live forever. We'll come back to that in 2 seconds, but... We've seen it in quite a few races before, and obviously F1 TV is selective over which radio messages they play out. But we have heard Red Bull quite a lot in these scenarios. Very quickly, Jonathan or Wheatley? Jonathan, have I just made that name up? It's Jonathan...
It's
Wheatley, isn't it? Jonathan Wheatley on the Red Bull... Sorry, guys, correct me if I'm wrong. You know, very quickly jumping on and jumping to Michael Massey. And yeah, Christian was... you know what? I get why Red Bull would be trying this.
Yeah.
You know, their driver's just been, in inverted commas, taken out of the race in a in a very dangerous area. And it, you know, we've already mentioned Hamilton was partly to blame, hence the penalty. And they had Perez out of the points. Mercedes in second and third at that point. You know, it was a huge sway. So they're going to be absolutely fuming. But just... sort of think of a concise argument rather than you shouldn't be overtaken there.
Yeah.
Because that argument, I think, was a bit grim.
I think you summed it up with a word that you just said there, trying.
Mm.
I felt like it all came across a little bit desperate.
A little bit try hard.
A little bit as if to be like, yeah. I'm trying to think of an analogy where every time I heard them, it was almost as though... they were exaggerating everything, even though the crash was obviously big.
Huge.
I just
50 G's, huge.
I just felt like, you know, when you do something wrong in school and then you like run to the teacher, oh my God, like you try and like get them
milk
on
it.
Side. That's kind of the way that I'm thinking about it. I got so frustrated with the way that they reacted to the whole situation.
It was like a dive in football.
Yeah.
Inside the penalty box.
I felt like they knew. They'd obviously spoken to Max. They knew that he was okay. And that even in the post-race, like Christian was using it. I've got a driver in hospital. He's already got all of the reports and checks back. He knows that he's okay. He's using that as an excuse to try and kill off Mercedes and Lewis. I hope he's happy with that. That's a hollow victory. And then Jensen comes back. They all, Damon, that was an amazing drive and an amazing wing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think what Christian was saying there, it was almost as though everyone else other than the Red Bull team felt like he was being a little bit silly.
Yeah, you know, as I say, I'm just trying to put myself in that position of being a Red Bull fan and being a Verstappen fan and also being within the Red Bull organization. You are going to be absolutely fuming and raging and be trying to fight your corner and trying to see if there's any way that you can get more punishment, you know, put on Mercedes or Hamilton. And so I understand it, but there's also something which is dignity in losing, right? Or in those moments where whatever you might feel, and yes, as many people said in the TV analysis yesterday, you need two drivers to have a crash, right? I think Toto Wolff said that.
Yeah.
You need two drivers to have a crash.
Yeah.
And Hamilton got a penalty. He was definitely partly to blame, for sure, if not maybe more to blame than Verstappen.
If Max hadn't have totally wiped out and been able to continue that lap, maybe drop down to P12, P13 or whatever, and maybe Lewis had front wing damage or a front tire puncture, do you think Max would have got a penalty as well?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
No, I think the outcome would have always remained the same because the accident would not have happened if Hamilton hadn't have placed his car there.
Right.
I think the point being that we were trying to make earlier is the accident could have been avoided by both of them.
Mm.
As I say, if Hamilton hadn't have placed his car there or he had backed out, the accident would have happened. If Verstappen hadn't turned in so aggressively, knowing that there was, because he did know the car was up his inside. This is the whole thing. You know, people say, oh, he couldn't really, didn't know where he was. He did, because we saw him turn out of the corner. So he knew Hamilton was there. So, but if Hamilton was, and I think this is why I got the penalty, and the FIA did release a statement, which I stupidly didn't read before doing this podcast, but summing up why they gave him that penalty. But I'm assuming this was the case because, fundamentally, it was his car that was off the racing line trying to do an overtake coming from behind that sort of then caused the accident. So I totally side with that and I get that. My point being they were alongside enough. Hamilton was aggressive enough that Verstappen, I think, could have decided to concede that corner and potentially still been able to win that race. I think, you know, my question to my mum and my Vicky was, if it was Alonso or Vettel, what would they have done in that scenario?
Mm.
That would be my question. And we saw what Leclerc and Norris did. And okay, fine, Norris maybe was a little bit easier. But Leclerc was not giving up that position easily. He never was, and he nearly lost it.
And he came back onto the track, still like hunting him down.
So, you know, that's a prime example that we saw multiple overtakes, and not just Hamilton, during that Grand Prix, in that corner, and how different drivers tackled it and did it.
The other drivers aren't fighting for a world championship.
Totally agree with you there. Very valid point. And they haven't been competing all season long. What are we? Race, whatever we are. And it's been Hamilton versus Verstappen head-to-head for however long. So there was frustrations building there. But I think, yeah, Christian's tactics was just a bit too much and a bit... He was kind of the only man. Mm. Like, everyone else in the paddock was like, it's a kind of racing. Yeah. Like, Charles Leclerc after was like, it's a racing incident. I was right behind them. Bottas on the radio, it's a racing incident. Everyone's like, it's a racing incident. Yeah, yeah. And then you got Christian Horner being like, kill him! Hang him! He's a murderer!
Put him in F2.
And even Helmut Marko came out there, so suspend him for a race. He ruined Albon's career. And everyone was like, Helmut Marko? How are you saying he ruined him? So yeah, it was all a bit sort of tit for tat, but... The genius that we got was the sort of rebuttal from Mercedes during that FIA to Teams Radio when Toto came on saying, Michael, hello, I've just sent you an email. Have you got it? And he's like, no, I don't check my emails during the race. You really should. It's a great email.
It's a diagram.
You've got to see it. It's a fantastic diagram. And there were some amazing things on Twitter. Head over to my Twitter. It's seen through glass, spelt like sort of Avril Lavigne way, T-H-R-U glass. But yeah, I retweeted an amazing sort of, you know, stick drawing, five-year-old kid drawing. I'm like, good guy, bad guy, bang, bang. So that was an amazing moment. I love that insight. But... Martin Brundle, I think, very interestingly pointed out, maybe it was Karun Chandhok again. Go on, Karun Chandhok, I don't know where. That Michael Massey doesn't hand out the penalties, it's the stewards. So these team principals moaning and complaining and banging on to poor Michael Massey, who at that time was trying to sort out a red flag and a driver going to hospital.
You used this analogy earlier. It's the same as an entire team surrounding a referee when... a foul has just happened, to be like, send him off, off. Yeah. Trying to influence the referee as if a professional who is fully qualified to become a referee and is trained not to be influenced, as if it's going to make a difference. And I felt like it was a bit of a waste of breath. Some of it. I get the heat.
I understand it and I understand where they're coming from, but as we mentioned at the beginning, we are fundamentally Hamilton fans, so we are always going to side towards Hamilton and Mercedes. So what I want to know in the comment section for this particular episode, and if you're listening online, so Spotify, Apple Podcasts, make sure to tweet, as I say, seen through glass, T-H-R-U glass, and hashtag after the checkered flag.
Please don't add
Wallace PJW as well, my guest for this week. Let us know. What I want to know is, are you a fan of Hamilton or Verstappen? So put fan of Hamilton or Verstappen. And then, who do you think was to blame for the accident? That's what I want to know. So you can say racing incident. So I want to say fan of Verstappen, racing incident. Or fan of Hamilton, Hamilton to blame. That's the comments I want to see. Feel free to obviously share more thoughts. Absolutely fine. But I'd be really interested because as a Hamilton fan, I would call it a racing incident. But I would agree with the penalty that Hamilton got. That's what I'd say. So I would admit that Hamilton was slightly more to blame, but that it was a race. It should have been declared a racing incident, I think.
I think that's a pretty good summary. And when he got that 10-second penalty, I still kind of felt like he had it in the bag. But my God, did he have to drive his...
Let's get into the
wheels off. Well, I just want to start with saying how exciting was it that Latifi got P14?
What? Latifi? Was he in the race?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you retired. P14. So good. Look at you and your favourites. If this is your first time tuning into After the Checkered Flag, you're like, why is he talking about Latifi? Paul and I made a pact to talk about drivers that don't often get a lot of coverage, especially here on the podcast. You had Latifi.
And Stroll.
And Stroll, and I had Giovinazzi and...
Latifi beat Giovinazzi.
Oh, classic.
Come on.
I'm not sure who my other driver was.
You're useless at this, which is why I should be the
most. Was it Sonoda? Ocon. Giovinazzi and Ocon.
I mean, he had a great Friday.
Oh, what a joke.
Terrible Saturday and Sunday.
Disaster. Anyway, let's get into the main thing.
Okay.
I'm always sitting by my Ferrari hat, my Schumacher hat. And what a race for Ferrari. Can I just say, by the way, this is so, and they did pick up on it in the commentary. So, 375, sorry, let's go back. 1951. Ferrari's first ever victory in Formula One. Ferrari's first ever victory in Formula One at Silverstone in the 375. by, I've now forgotten his name, Gonzalez.
Is that just a generic Italian name?
He's not even, I don't think he was even Italian. I don't know. Anyway, 60 years later, 2011, Ferrari win their only race of that year with Fernando Alonso in a Ferrari at Silverstone. That bore the 599 GTB 60 F1, the Alonso edition.
The most overpriced Ferrari in existence.
Agreed, collector's item. And so, for the 70th anniversary of Ferrari victories in Formula One, which haven't actually happened yet, which I thought was quite weird. So there is Charles Leclerc driving the Gonzalez car around Silverstone. All of these things come together, and then he's leading the race for 95% of it. I'm sitting there going, there better be an 812 super fast Leclerc edition, because I'm putting it. No, I don't have that kind of money. As you know, the Ferrari fanboy, the person in me who's looking to, who am I going to support post the Hamilton era? And I've already declared it will be Leclerc. This was a Grand Prix that I was like, oh, firstly, unbelievable qualifying.
Yeah.
Great sprint race. Or sprint.
For the club, maybe. Not so much science.
Yeah, for Leclerc. Disaster. And then an unbelievably strong performance in the race. I think Ferrari surprised themselves. They knew they had speed, and I think they surprised everyone with just how much speed on that medium tyre. Hey, look, the temperature came to them. I think they liked the hot conditions. Genuinely fast and competitive, and I think what you hear from Mercedes and what we all witnessed, Hamilton outdrove that car and had to catch and pass Leclerc. Agreed. Like, that was an amazing performance to be able to catch him.
Bottas.
Great team player. I find it so condescending now how Hamilton's like, he's just such a good teammate by letting me through so easily because he's so slow. What a great teammate. But to be fair, helped Hamilton get pole. Was it? Do you call it pole on the Friday with a bit of a drag? So, you know, Bottas is just playing that team role now. So what is that about? We're still confused by what's happening next year. You've got to assume Russell, who's nailing P7s and P8s in qualifying, you know, has got that seat.
He's kind of going backwards on Sunday, though.
Bottas is literally bumming Toto Wolff so hard by doing anything he asks for.
Yeah.
Let loose through now. Okay. Give him a drag. Sure, no problem. It's so weird. But yeah, Charlie Leclerc, amazing. And a P2, great. And he's just still outperforming that car. It was epic to see, and because of all the anniversaries as a Ferrari fanboy, I'm just thinking, oh my God, it's meant to be. It wasn't meant to be, but who cares? It was great.
It was cool to see. I think it was great to see. As I always say, when Leclerc outperforms that car and Ferrari get a podium, pole qualifying. Sorry,
confusing.
Monday morning. Yeah. you cannot not have Ferrari up at the top competing, whether you're a fan of Ferrari or not. You have to.
And there was that one moment where we thought maybe Hamilton was going to be out as well, or he was going to get a bigger penalty. And let's face it, no one cared about Bottas because suddenly Twitter went, Ferrari versus McLaren for the win? What? I mean, to be fair, at that point, Bottas was behind Norris. But yeah, it felt like for 2 seconds, I think I texted you and Tony saying, Leclerc, Norris, Hamilton for the podium, and I'm not sure in what order. Unfortunately, McLaren didn't quite have that race pace to stay up there with Bottas. But great results from McLaren. Anyway, strongish from Danny Ric.
P4, P5.
Exactly. So, you know, it was good. So what I wanted to ask about is, what were your thoughts on the sprint?
On the schedule.
Yeah,
on the weekend schedule.
First time we've seen it. As I say, qualifying, we had free practice one on Friday, qualifying on Friday afternoon, free practice two on Saturday morning, sprint Saturday afternoon, and then the race.
I think the practice schedule was hella confusing. I think for the teams, for the drivers, as well as for everyone else watching, I always feel like they get swept under the radar quite a lot. Unless you're a like super fan, no one watches practice.
Sorry, I do.
Yeah, you're a super fan.
Yes, agreed.
As am I. So on a Friday, 11 a.m., I'm like, oh, what should I do? Practice. what I enjoyed from an entertainment point of view, obviously over the last couple of months or so, we've had so much football on every single evening that there's something to look forward to every day. And I think that Friday evening qualifying session played so well into the weather that it is just such a cool thing. And I saw it across social media. I saw loads of my friends talking about it. They were out in the garden, having a barbecue, having a couple of beers on a Friday night, finishing a week long of work, and then being able to watch at actually something quite exciting and meaningful within the F1 weekend. And that I felt was genius from the TV, from the advertisers. I feel like spreading the entertainment across a 3-day period and giving us some Friday evening entertainment so that we don't have to watch Love Island is so cool. Then we kind of dropped it down a notch and had a practice. It was like, oh, not going straight.
What's this about?
Not going straight into the sprint, are we?
Whilst the cars are in park firme.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I don't think the sprint's perfect. I can't work it out. I can't work out whether it needs to be shorter or needs to be longer. I think if it's longer and we bring in pit stops, then what's the point of having the race on the Sunday? I think if it's shorter, I can't put my finger on what I loved was Alonso on lap
one. Oh my God.
What a hero.
11th to 5th, was it? Yeah,
it was like watching me play F1 2021 on Xbox against amateur difficulty level.
Was it Raikkonen at Portugal last year that did the same thing? Just woke up and went, I'm going to overtake everyone. You know, useless kids move. Any more thoughts on the...
Not that I can place my finger on for the sprint.
So I would agree with you. Friday afternoon or evening qualifying, genius. Yeah. So good. And after one practice, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Do that every time, I think. That was great to see. And it felt competitive. Okay, look, not every qualifying is going to be that. But we are seeing now that the teams are closer. Qualifying is becoming more and more exciting. And the average pundit could tune into a 6 or 7 p.m. qualifying and follow it and be quite excited by the shootout. FP2 on a Saturday morning in park firm conditions, bin that off. Yeah. What's the point? Maybe go back to a very old school. They used to have a Sunday pre-race warm-up, which was 30 minutes, and literally just to sort of get the cars ticking over. So maybe just do that on a Saturday morning. Just call it the warm-up, the sprint warm-up or whatever.
Every team will treat it as some sort of practice.
But that's fine. Yeah. 30 minutes. Yeah. Literally 30 minutes. Just get out there and get the cars ticking over, because an hour, what's the point? Like an hour long.
I think back in the day when they had that warm-up, the cars did need ticking over.
Yeah, probably.
Not so much now.
Not so much. The sprint, I would agree with you, right? Like, this is the first time they've tried it, so it's not going to be perfect from the outset.
Yeah.
I think what it delivered was some great first lap action, and then I think everyone really cooled down as in like, okay, cool, we've done that,
I'm happy here.
And then I think it led to a very exciting race. I do think a lot of what we saw in the race was because of pent up frustrations between Hamilton and Verstappen, but also throughout the field with what had happened. And people were like, oh, I qualified so well, now look, I'm four places low, I'm higher, or whatever it might be, and seeing Perez having to come through the field and all these different things.
then
go backwards again. Yeah. It was not a great weekend for Perez. So these things I think were good to see. I would agree. Okay, so here are my like controversial thing. One lap shootout.
One lap shootout.
One lap. And not shootout, one lap. The sprint should be one lap. Starting grid, one lap. Finishing order, done.
Okay.
Weird, I know.
Yeah.
So that's one potential. My other one was do the qualifying, the sprint should be in reverse grid order as a spectacle. And the qualifying, because what I didn't like was finishing the line, well done, Max, you've got pole. And I don't think they can qualify or quantify a pole position now as that sprint victory. It goes against everything F1's about.
I agree.
Positions are about being the fastest man. So I don't like them saying, well done, you've won pole. So I think the sprint's got to be its own thing and not say that's pole position. So therefore, how do you make the sprint purposeful? How do you make it? Because what it could do moving forward is it could mean, as the teams understand it and know how to use it, is that it makes Sunday a bit less exciting. It could make Sunday quite predictable because all the sort of anyone who's misqualified sorts themselves out and then the race is a little bit straightforward, maybe. So I'm thinking is, do you do qualify on the Friday afternoon and on the Saturday, it's just this mad reverse grid order, see what happens, for some points, because then that allows the lesser teams, the Williams, the Alfa Romeos, maybe to score points and make the championship a little bit more competitive. So it's only half points. You can do back to the old thing of...
Is it putting cars in positions they might not necessarily want to be in the sense that Mercedes are trying to catch a Haas for track position?
Yeah, so no pit stops.
Damage.
I mean, can you imagine if Schumacher and Mazepin were first and second on a sprint race and they set off, and it's over 17 laps, how long will it take Hamilton to go through the field and then overtake a Schumacher. You would think it would be done. Well, it'd be exciting to see, wouldn't it?
There are 17 other cars that have got to go before, and you can guarantee that at least two of them. I mean, I just think that the session will be red flags so often.
The thing is, reverse, people don't want things to become gimmicky in F1, which I agree.
Mm.
And I thought that maybe the sprint could become pointless with time. Mm. If they do it for every Grand Prix, or, well, I think after a while, it just be a bit like, oh, I never understand the point of this. And Saturday will become a bit of a dead day. So I just thought, use that opportunity for it to be a spectacle, to just be an entertaining, well, then silly spectacle.
Put them in go-karts.
Well, no, that's a bit crazy.
but also
to spread points through the field, because all we see is, unfortunately, Haas Williams just not being able to score any points, and they finished the year with no points, and how depressing. For sponsors, for commercial benefits, for all these different reasons, how cool would it be to see a race where Russell starts in third and manages to hold on for 17 laps and wins the race? Okay, fine. Well, he might only get 10 points. No, but do you mean he can't P11?
He just will.
Okay, sorry, because he's cursed. But do you see what I'm saying? So I don't know if I agree with my own theory, but that's one way I thought to shuffle it up.
Again, it sounds like you can't quite put your finger on it, like me.
And it wasn't quite right.
Yeah, and I think it's because it's the first one. I was talking to Archie on the Friday because I was at Silverstone and we were watching it. And I kind of feel like sprint races should be at maybe 25%. Of the races. Mm. I still feel like Q1, Q2, Q3 on a Saturday has a priority in terms of excitement and also in terms of fairly deciding the grid for Sunday without overshadowing Sunday. I think there are opportunities to put a sprint race in and change the format up to spice it up a little bit. I just feel like they need to fine tune the sprint race in some way, even if it's like a 10 lap shootout, something that... What I didn't really like is the fact that drivers were able to choose tyres. I thought they were all supposed to be on softs.
So, you're right. Some of these elements were a bit like, huh? I don't really get it. But hey, let's face it. We came away from what was a very exciting race weekend. Yeah,
or do we just like, how do you have a level playing field for it? You know, like... Everyone has to have 500 brake horsepower.
No. That's too IndyCar now.
Okay.
Now you're going to IndyCar. I wouldn't do that because then you're questioning what Formula One's all about. If one race, like everyone's got a limit where they can only, what does that then prove? Mm. And because then everyone's just going to go,
I'm just brainstorming. Maybe we go down the Christian Horner route and no overtakes.
Yeah. Only overtake a 20 mile an hour corner. Anyway, we'll see. They're obviously going to try and figure it out. But, you know, I don't think we can knock it.
It's a test. It was purely a test, right? And it will happen across a few other races this season.
Exactly. My only concern is it literally ruins 3 days of my week. Because that means, you know, before I could skip practice. If I was busy, I'd watch the highlights. Yeah. And on a Saturday, again, like I could stream qualifying, I could dip in and out. I'd always be there for the race.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm like, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Monday for the pod.
Hello. 4 days of my week spread across 2 weeks. Anyway, it's been mad. It's been intense. It's the moment I think we've all been waiting for or expecting. Yes, a catalyst, I think, for the rest of the season. We all know, if you look at seasons past, when these moments happen, when two title rivals finally kind of tangle or really go head-to-head on track at this point, it does usually then spark things. You know, we've seen it with Rosberg. We've seen it with Rosberg, Hamilton, Vettel, Webber.
I still think the fact that Lewis came away from that pretty unscathed and went on to win the race is it's not quite as an even outcome as I think is going to spark a future fight for the rest of the season. I kind of feel like Lewis felt so dominant yesterday, winning that race after driving the wheels off his car, beating Leclerc, that he's going to go into the next race with such a strong mentality, whereas Verstappen's going to go in almost with like revenge in his eyes because I was the one that crashed. You literally knocked me off and carried on and won the race. Like, I think if they'd both come off, I think they would have had kind of an equal respect for each other to be like, look, we can't do that again.
Yeah, no, I think that's exciting. I think that's what we want. Yeah. From my side, this is, because I feel like there was a slight sort of, okay, Verstappen's really dominant and I felt like he had the upper hand. Mm-hmm. There was the pace advantage, but also I felt like Hamilton was a little bit like, oh, I'm just biding my time. And I think this was the go moment.
This was
Hamilton saying, enough's enough, maybe recklessly, maybe dangerously, but saying, this, I, I got, I'm not going to win the championship now by sitting here.
I think a lot of people wrote Lewis off. I felt like at this point in the championship, there have been many times where Lewis has come from behind and won the world championship. And I kind of feel like a lot of people that I spoke to had almost conceded the fact that Lewis could still win the world championship. And I think that's relatively naive.
Well, the thing is, as with any great champion, great athlete, it's like on a, 400 meter, right? When's your go moment? When's your right?
I'm probably now at the beginning.
Yeah.
No, 400 meters is not that long.
You've got to know when you're at your strongest, right? And when you pull the trigger, a marathon, fine, whatever it might be. No, but even on track, I was watching that Olympic documentary on BBC with, I think it was Christina Horogu or something like that. And she said she knew the back last 100 meters was her strongest. Mm. She had to come around that final bend, and then that was where she was going to be her strongest. So my point being that I do think, whatever reason, whether it was the sprint, whether it was the five races, the build up to this moment, Hamilton just decided, right, now is when I will take those risks, no matter how reckless or dangerous or how they'll be perceived or what might come out of them. But now is when I need to step up to the point where I'm not going to let Verstappen kind of walk over me. Not that he's walked over him, but Hamilton has definitely been playing the points game up until this point.
He's been collecting points. And I feel like there was an element of the sprint mm-hmm. where Lewis was frustrated.
Yeah.
And then also everything up until the crash. If you go back and look from the moment the lights went out up until the crash, Max was all over the road, missed every single line, kind of went wide on most, and then was bumping wheels with Lewis.
We didn't even touch that, did we? Yeah, exactly.
Lewis was like, I mean, it looks cool, but not at 200 miles an hour when I'm in the other car. Stop bumping my tires.
I love that in the post-interviews. He's like, the thing was, like, I know back in the day, like, we saw these historic footage of, like, people bumping wheels. Like, it's cool, man, but, like, it was aggressive. It was close. Yeah. It was full on, which is what we want to see. And that's exactly, I think, that's why I'm saying it's a catalyst, because I think now gloves are off.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, Verstappen's going to come out feeling a bit cheated. He's going to want revenge. Red Bull are going to be G-ing him up. Don't let Hamilton do this to us, blah, blah. We're going to a track that Hamilton has been insanely strong at and successful at over the years. He's going to be full of confidence. And we've seen that with Hamilton. He loves coming from behind. he loves chasing. He loves being, like the chaser, the attacker. And it motivates him, and especially when there's a strong race weekend like this, where I think he probably knows deep down what he did. And I'm not saying he purposefully hit Verstappen, but in terms of took that risk, he went, right, this is my moment, I'll take the risk. Yeah. Let's see what happens. Okay, he turned in.
Yeah.
Lesson learned. Like, it's fine. That was always going to be his risk to take.
Well, so if this happens at the next race, which is Hungary, right?
Yeah.
And the same thing happens, mm-hmm. do you feel like, because of what happened at Silverstone, Max is going to back out?
No. Absolutely not. No. Absolutely not. But that's what it's pretty much. I know Hamilton now.
Yeah.
Because Hamilton now knows, right, if I stay in, if I don't duck out,
yeah,
he's gonna we're gonna crash. Well, he cannot, as a champion, as a racer, he cannot go, okay, well, I don't want to keep crashing, so I'll just let Verstappen take the corner. Because that is what I think Hamilton was insinuating Verstappen's mentality or tactic is. As in, we will crash unless you back out, mate, so off you go. And Hamilton's saying, well, no, I'm not gonna do that, so let's crash. And at some point, it's going to come off worse for Verstappen, like it did yesterday. And Verstappen's going to have to concede at certain times. He's going to have to change his tactics. Yeah. That's all it is.
Which it goes back to my original point of, there's going to be races where Max just needs to damage limitate his situation. Mm-hmm. And on lap one, it might not be a case of two cars trying to go into one. It might be a case of, Lewis, you can have that position. Yep. I back my car. I back my ability to somehow get past you. And I also back the pit crew to strategize the way that I'm going to win this race so that I can come back and win the race and actually get over the checkered flag, because obviously he didn't and lost out on massive points.
That's it. That's racing. And I think I can hear Verstappen fans listening to this and going, you're admitting that Hamilton purposefully crashed. That's not what I'm personally saying. What I'm saying is they were both to blame. Verstappen could have avoided the accident, but Hamilton went in there knowing that if he didn't, that's what would happen. So yes, that's what you're right. I think this is a season-long race. It's not this, one
this
corner.
How, this is how
it's not
you
one
win
lap.
A world championship.
Exactly that. You've got to know when to concede. You've got to know when to attack. You've got to know when to lose or win a corner so that over a race distance and then over a championship, you're maximizing points so that at the end, you're there. And we've said it so many times. Hamilton has done a great job so far this year of trying to minimize or to maximize the points he can get when Verstappen wins so that at weekends like this, because sometimes it's going to be unreliability as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's not always going to be them clashing on track that he's there and he can suddenly close up the gap. So, yeah, it was mad. But I say, let us know in the comment section below if you're watching on YouTube. Tweet us otherwise if you're listening who you are a fan of, Verstappen or Hamilton, or who you support in this situation, and then who you think was to blame, Verstappen, Hamilton, or was it just a racing incident? We will be back with you next week then for the...
Is there no time to talk about Lance Stroll? No time?
Unfortunately not. So yeah, we didn't follow our usual format this week, but who cares? And it's actually my birthday. Next Monday.
I thought you were going to say today.
No, for the...
Not another year that I've forgotten.
For the Hungarian Grand Prix review.
Okay.
My birthday. So let's face it, it might not actually be recorded on that day. We'll probably do it the day after. But you know, YOLO. We'll catch up with you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.